This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? What a beautiful day it is today, and I tell you what, I'm excited here, boys.
Huge start of the season.
Oh, I think we're going to go 16-0.
Oh, we're already doing that, are we? No, it's a great start. I mean, that's exactly what we needed. We wanted to answer from, you know, losing to them twice last year, so now it's it. We got off on the right foot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say we stifled all the critics. Zeke played. And I tell you what, he looked like vintage Zeke. Every time it was third and short, where it could have been a minus 1 yard, minus 2 yards, forget about it. He made it happen. He made it happen and got the 3 yards, 4 yards. Whatever it is, man, the kid falls forward, and his legs, man, they're like tree trunks. You're not going to bring him down. He's no. Like the old Robert Newhouse, Earl Campbell.
First and foremost, can you give props to Steve-O here, who called this 4 months ago, called the exact thing that would happen.
Can you find that show on the next week's show here or this Thursday?
I remember it was the only time I've called. Well, I won't say the only time, but I called in. Remember, I was somewhere, and it was loud. Oh, it was the day of the eclipse up here.
Brilliant move, by the way.
Right, wasn't it?
I thought you were crazy.
And I said, hey, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going down. He's going to get suspended. They're going to uphold the suspension. He's going to file for a temporary restraining order, injunction on it. He's going to play the entire season. He's not going to sit out. I'll go a step further and say it'll go to the offseason. I am not sure. Listen, who in the hell are these crazy people? They're suing themselves. The NFLPA suing the NFL. The NFL suing the NFLPA. All they're doing is fighting against each other.
Yeah, it's a pissing match.
What? All they're doing is wasting their money.
Yeah, wasting money and time.
Why don't we do this?
Well, they just took it to appeals court.
Yeah.
The NFL did.
I know. They're trying to get that out so he would be suspended this year.
We're just getting sick and tired of it, Steve-O.
But it doesn't matter. Let's just go ahead and he'll take 3 games. Next year,
no, he's
at the start of the season,
and
we won't go to court. But let's do it after the season. Let's be done with it. Let him run wild.
Yeah, I don't think he'll even get that. But let's go to the game. Let's go to the big game here. And this was a game that was supposed to be. I mean, it was supposed to dictate how our season's going to be going. And here's our nemesis, the team that's beaten us the last three. And you know what? We did not leave a question mark on that field. I think we definitely looked good. Maybe the play calling when Bryce caught that ball on the 2 yard line, and we decided to go three and out by throwing three passes to Dez. But besides that, I thought we played stellar. And out of all sides, our defense looked damn good.
Okay, well, let's not jump around. All right, let's go. Let's break this thing down as normal fans would do. So let's start off with the quarterback. Okay, this is a year away from his initial start. Right, Dak goes into game one last year. We end up losing to the Giants, but he comes in this year. How did you like his performance, Rodney? I thought he came out maybe a little up. Overamped. A lot of his throws were a little high. He had a little extra mustard on it, if you will. And I didn't think he was as sharp as he is going to be now that he got this big game behind him.
Yeah, no, I agree to that. I thought the same thing. He seemed a little too, understandably, amped up, fired up, whatever you know.
First game,
it.
Boys.
It's the first game. It's big. So, but what I noticed was that since he did seem a little overhyped, I thought his footwork was off in the first quarter. I thought he was, tiptoeing a little bit too much. It just, you know, he wasn't right. So the ball was coming out a little lower, ended up being a little higher. Like he was high with all his throws. So overall, though, I still think he got it together and put on a very good show. You know, I don't know. I thought I don't know if we're going to grade him or what, but I think he was.
Oh,
fine.
You can grade him.
You know, I would say I'd give him a B+.
Good. I like that call.
Because
I like
his
the
average,
plus.
Like he did complete a lot of passes eventually. I think his average was only about 7 yards of completion, which don't get me wrong, I mean that's fine and all, but you know, it wasn't I don't think he lit it up by any means. He still had 15 incomplete passes roughly, I think it was. So
but the most important thing about it, we've seen it in the past with the New York Giants, we throw a key interception, it changes the whole complicity of the game, and next thing you know, we're playing catch up, or we're trying to just hang on to our dear life, looking for that wire if it's a horse race. Right. And we didn't have that problem. And I'm glad, you know, if you're going to do anything that's negative, just throw incomplete. Just don't throw it to the other team. And
I agree with that.
That's really been our. Really in our side the whole time.
Just to touch on what you said, though, too, I thought the play calling was just a little bit off. I think that the series that we established the run and went play action, we looked unstoppable. When we decided to drop back and throw six times in a row, we looked a little less so.
Right.
You know, that's where you saw some of the incompletions. Like, it seemed like they were, you know, and maybe that was the game plan they went into the game with, potentially. They saw something in the Giants secondary, whatever the case is. I just felt, though, Let's do what we do. You know what I mean? Like, let's run the ball. Like you said, Zeke's going to get 2, 3, 4 yards on just about every carry. Establish him. Start running play action. And, I mean, that's when Dak is at his best.
Let me ask you guys too. I listened to the New York Giants podcast, and
I don't have time for that in here, John.
And their big thing was, well, they beat us because we didn't have Odell Beckham. Now, you could use that all you want, but man, we were beating him on every aspect. I mean, Eli Manning did not have time at all, and our boys were on top of him like fly on crap, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and that was another encouraging thing to see the pressure we were getting on him early in that first quarter. I mean, that's what we've been, you know, been yearning for from our defense, was to get after the quarterback a little bit.
Yeah, there's what about Lawrence? DeMarcus Lawrence.
Just all over him. But going back to your first initial comment there with I think the Giants do have that built-in excuse. Hey, we don't have our biggest playmaker on the field. He changes the dynamics of our offense. I get it. Okay, I'll buy that. But I think you can't play on ifs and buts. Okay, you have to play on who's on the field. And we had to face the team that was in front of us, and that team didn't have Odell Beckham. And guess what? We'll get him here later on in the season, and hopefully they'll have him. Or hopefully they won't, and it'll turn out the same. I could give two shits.
Right.
I just want to go out and beat them. I want to win every game.
Yeah, and we did, you know. But what my fear of when I was sitting there watching the game is that we dominated the game, did we not? We only scored 19 points.
Actually, on that note, Rodney, 34 minutes, 14 seconds, we controlled the ball. And they came back and got 25 minutes and 46 seconds when we were totally dominating
absolutely.
The hell out of that game.
And I mentioned to you
time-wise.
Guys during the game how it looked like kind of like an old Cowboys team where we dominate the time of possession, but we end up kicking too many field goals. Mm-hmm. And that was my fear going into halftime, thinking, oh, here we go again. You know that eventually the Giants are going to find a rhythm. They'll start putting something together. And they
key
did.
Fumble or
right.
interception. And
yeah, and you never
we
know.
We didn't cough it up one time.
Right, that was the key to it. We didn't allow the Giants. We didn't give them an extra possession that they didn't,
right.
you know, that they didn't need. So, yeah, no, that was huge. And I just, you know, we, despite how well we looked and how well we did play, you know, we did only put up 19 points. When don't you feel like we should have scored way more than 19 points? Is anyone else? I mean, I feel like looking back at that game, how much we had the ball and how we moved it up and down the field, like, you know.
Well, I mean, how much stock do you put into that, Steve? Well, I mean, we still won 19-3. I would just like to forget about everything and just focus in on 19-3 because they didn't make it close on us. We had this from the kickoff. It seemed like we were under control.
Well, here's the problem I have all in all, and it stems back to basically the preseason. Is the preseason's meant for finding your 53-man roster, not getting ready, prepared for an actual preseason game, so you're ready for game one. So it seems to be like game one and game two, it's almost like a boxing match where you're kind of feeling out what you got, what plays you're going to call, how you're going to be working out the kinks so you can go to practice and work on them. And that's a frustrating thing. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, getting down there into the, 20, 30 yards out, and next thing you know, you can't punch it in, or even first and goal, and you're throwing passes instead of running the ball. I'm frustrated with that. I agree with Rodney. I get the score 19-3, and you win, and it's a W in the column. But at the end of the day, that very easily could have been 35-3.
Yeah.
It could have been a blowout. It should have been a blowout from how we controlled the ball.
That was a damn good defense, though. I mean, we could have faced the number one or number I'd say top three defenses in the NFL. And to be that, you know what? Sometimes you got to take the field goal and just say, you know what? I don't mind taking another field goal because I'm going to stop everything that you're throwing at me. And this was just a heavyweight fight that went the distance. There was no knockouts. But I tell you what, we were scoring on points every round. We were doing everything we had to do.
You're exactly right. It was a typical Mayweather fight. It was Mayweather Pacquiao. You know, you Mayweather just outboxed him, and that's what we did. We outplayed him, but there was no big, huge shot. The knockdown shot.
Yeah.
We won on points. And we dominated in every aspect of the game. Turnovers dominated. Right, rushing yards, well, passing yards.
We got it up on the screen here. Passing first downs, we had 12. Rushing first downs, we had 9. So that shows to me right there we're balanced out on both passing and rushing. The total yardage, look at this, 392, and this kind of plays into what you guys said, 392 to 233 yards. And I tell you what, man, there were a lot of three and outs for the Giants. They just did. We were all over Eli.
Yeah. No, and that's kind of the – even though the Giants balanced out the time of possession, we outgained them by 161 yards. Like, that's a pretty good chunk. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm happy that, that we won, obviously, that we did all these things, that we did control. I just want to see at least one more touchdown instead of a field goal out of that game. That's just kind of what I'm saying.
And one more thing that we didn't stress on, Steve-O, was we didn't get a lot of yellow hankies thrown at us either.
No, it was actually overall it was a very clean game, and it reminded me of something because I watched on the Monday night game. I forget who it was, the receiver that just got some separation. It might have been that Adam Thielen from the Vikings. I mean, you remember when Dez is running down the sideline, and the jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, is just basically using that sideline as a defender and just running into him and pushing him out.
Right.
Thielen did something completely different. Thielen did a cut to the inside and basically ran his defender in towards the hash, and then at the last second came out, giving himself a little bit more room to catch that ball on the sidelines. And or if that doesn't happen, you're more apt to get that pass interference because there's a lot more contact because he's diverting you from running in as opposed to pushing you out. I would have liked to seen Dez maybe make an adjustment, and instead of just letting Janoris Jenkins push him out, and we saw it three or four times, and there was only one flag on them, and it was questionable, all of them. That flag was questionable. And the three other plays were questionable. It could have gone either way.
Yep.
So I'd like to see Dez make an adjustment because Jenkins is a pretty good corner. But if he can make that adjustment the way Dak's throwing the ball to him and giving him multiple shots, how many targets did he have? 10? 11?
Well, just on that two-yard series inside the five-yard line, he had three of them on his own.
I know. That's right. What I'm saying.
He cannot go to the sideline and complain he's not getting looked at because he's definitely – a feature wide out this year to where, I thought it might be we're going to spread it around, but
we did. I mean, and that's the thing. I thought we actually passed the ball more than I expected.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrence Williams got some. Beasley made an unbelievable catch.
That was unreal.
It's unreal.
That was unreal.
And you had Witten Witten just, that's all the guy does is catch.
Bryce played great, too.
Bryce,
what a,
too.
What a catch he
right.
made.
Witten gets tackled by a feather every time. If a feather just hits him, he falls over.
that's not right.
It is right.
The guy's carrying two guys all the time. And you know what? I don't want that ball to pop out trying to get an extra half a yard or something. Yeah, you guys got to admit, when Dez carries the ball, you're worried as hell because he does not want to go down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so in any case, 392 to 233, time-wise, we controlled that too. I thought it could have been a lot worse than 34 to 25 on that.
Yeah, if you look at the first half stats, I'm sure it would look vastly different. I mean, they really made up the time of possession in the second half.
Yeah, that's for sure. What stood out to you guys on the offensive side? Our offensive line really did a damn good job and didn't seem like we're missing Ron Leary at all.
No, what stood out to me was kind of what we've already touched on. I thought granted, we did have a lot more plays. So, in fairness, we had more plays to call. But I still felt as though we didn't run the ball as much as I had anticipated. But outside of that, I thought we spread the ball around to our receivers. All of them had multiple targets. Dez was the only one. I think he had two catches but out of, like, his nine targets. But, you know, Terrence caught balls, Beasley,
well,
you know, all of them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's spread
yeah.
out. And that makes us very diverse, which is going to make us just, you know, it can make us unstoppable.
I'm much more referring to right now the guys that don't get the glamour and all that, and that's our offensive line. And I was really happy to see Chaz Green. He stepped up, and he took that spot from Leary. And yeah. I tell you what, the guy filled in perfectly. We could have faced, again, guys, I know we're saying 35-42, whatever the score we're looking at here, but 19 points to giving up only 3 points to them. They didn't have a 1-2-3 out for us at all. I mean, we kept them out on the field, and that could have been one of the best defensive lines that taken on our offensive line that didn't look bad at all.
Yeah, anytime your offense can shut down Stubby.
Stubby.
I know. I was just waiting for the laugh on that one. But,
boom.
Yeah, I mean, Chaz Green did a great job, and they all did up, you know, through the line for the most part. You know, maybe a couple of times where I think Alfred Morris had the run and didn't get positive yards, but all in all, Dak had plenty of time to throw. Got to go through his progressions. There were several checkdowns. So
I like to talk to you about that. I like to bring this up because now next week we will be playing Denver. I don't think you could be going to the line like you did this week and audibilizing so much as you did in that game. That wasn't one of the features that he had last year. I mean, he usually ran with it a lot more from the sideline, and he was audibilizing a lot more in the first game. I don't know if that's good going into Denver where I couldn't hear you from me to you right now, Steve-O. I mean, that's how loud this is going to get. So I don't know if all this audibilizing is good for this young quarterback yet.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think it is a good thing because I think that's showing him, you know, his maturation process a little bit. He's growing as a quarterback, but I would agree with you. Obviously, Denver is a very loud stadium. It's going to be on the road. But I think what you see from him audibilizing, a lot of times they actually call two plays in the huddle. And then they do the kill. You know, you kill the first one, whatever it is, and that one can be a simple hand motion, you know, to the rest of your lineman or your wide receiver so everyone's on the same page. I don't read as much into that. We'll see. You know, if we see some false start penalties early in that game or in crucial situations, then, yeah, that would be, you know, that would not be good, obviously. But so, yeah, no, I don't read into it too much, Jono, honestly, me personally.
All right. It's funny. I'm just kind of sitting here thinking just – as you replay the game in your head, and it had to, nothing sticks out. Nothing really sticks out as far as anything bad that was gone. I mean, you start talking about penalties, and Rodney, you just brought up, you know, false starts. But, you know, one of the things that always drives us crazy is when you get to that third and one, third and two, and somebody has a false start. I think the only thing that I don't even know if it was – it wasn't even that game. It was a different game. Yeah, it was a goofy penalty. We didn't have anything that stuck out to me that said, shit, we need to work on this, other than punch the ball in for touchdowns instead of field goals.
And on that note, too, we didn't hear anything from our DBs, which I love. They were quiet back there. Nothing got rowdy past our linebackers. And I tell you what, Jalen Smith looked damn good. I was on him early, and I texted you guys that I don't want to see arm tackling. And it keeps happening, but maybe now he's starting to progress to where, you know what, let's get it on. Let's get a little dirty here. So I was very happy with Sean Lee. I mean, week in, week out, the same thing, gives you everything. Did you see that backfield hit he made? I mean, he read that perfectly and just shot in that hole, and boom, there it was. The guy's unreal.
Yeah, that was obviously one of the highlights of the game. Is just why, I mean, he was on top of everybody, almost like he was reading their playbook. And he knew where those guys were going to be. And even to throw Eli off on several passes where he just jumped in the lane and was just, you know, blocking Eli from making a good pass. You know, he didn't have that open lane to throw through because Sean Lee's sitting right there just reading his eyes or knew where they were going. He actually played unbelievable.
I agree. No, Sean Lee was phenomenal. He is exactly what we saw. You know, we got exactly what we saw out of him last year. Let's hope he stays healthy.
Hasn't missed a beat, you know, has he?
Continues to do that this year. I think that Jalen Smith, I thought he looked really good. You did see him take the next step. He progressed a little bit. I agree with you, Jono. The arm tackling is a concern, but honestly, that's a concern league-wide for every team. I think just in general, tackling is poor in the league. It's not just a Jalen Smith problem. That's just a fundamental problem across the league. But you did see him. You saw him in the right positions. You saw him in the right spots. He's just got to make the play. And I think he's far too athletic to not make those plays. So, no, I think when it comes to Jalen, every week we're going to see him get better.
Yeah. You know, with that arm tackling stuff, if you want to get rid of concussions in the NFL, you get rid of you make everybody actually go to, like, tackling practice, and they have to have form tackling. That's where all your concussions happen. These guys just hit. They don't even wrap anybody
up.
They
put their head down. You just become a missile.
A missile.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they would work on the, hey, you got to try to wrap somebody up and tackle them. I know it gets rid of the big hit, but it'll eliminate a lot of your injuries probably out there too.
Okay. Now, this being said, and we'll get back to this in a minute, I just thought of, have we thought about, is this the only big threat in the NFC East that we've taken care of, or is there now a team called the Philadelphia Eagles that have just moved up the totem pole and saying, well, I mean, they made a statement of their own last week. Could that be the number two team that we got to look out for now? And the Giants in the last seven games, I looked at the stat, last seven games dating back from last year, they have not scored 20 points.
That's crazy. I didn't know
20
that.
Points. They have not put up 20 points in the last seven games.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that comes back to haunt you too. Maybe the Giants aren't the team to beat. Maybe it's now we got to start focusing on, you know, taking care of business. But the Eagles are maybe our toughest team out there now in the NFC East. And
no,
I hate to say that early.
No, and I think you're right. I think you talk about the maturation of players. You're looking at what Carson Wentz is doing up there, and obviously he was a highly touted early pick as a quarterback, and it's starting to pay dividends, and I think Philly's got to be happy with the way he played for sure. But it's going to come down to, you know, a matchup.
Their defense is outstanding right now. That Cox, I mean, he just deflected the ball up in the air, runs it in. Whatever, I'm not giving any props to the Eagles, but I'm saying to you right now, maybe the Giants they look tired.
Right.
They look tired. They look beat up in game week one.
I'm not ready to write the Giants off necessarily yet, but before the season started, I know I wasn't here last week, but I was thinking this last week how I was kind of looking over the Philadelphia roster, and I'm like, you know what? They're going to be better. They're going to be better from what some of the critics and some of the pundits have actually been saying, because it's usually most of the time the NFC East conversation has revolved around the Cowboys and the Giants. But I'm with you, Jono. I don't think I'd I don't think I would look overlooked the Eagles. Not
no,
yet.
No,
so
I.
So they, you know, they added also Alshon Jeffrey. They've they already got a good tight end and Ertz, Zach Ertz,
and then Aguilar.
So, you know, they've got some really good weapons now around him that are going to make Wentz better. And like as you already said, that defense was already good going into the year.
Right.
So last year their main problem, after Wentz kind of cooled off or the league kind of circled back and figured out how to game plan him a little bit, they fell off in the second half of the season. So, they're going to be a force. Like, the whole NFC is, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, but it's not coincidence that, you know, going seven games without putting up 20 points. I mean, that starts taking a toll on your mind frame of things, too. And I just think that this offensive line is ready to be exploited as the Cowboys. That was one of our weaker areas. Will we get pressure on the QB? We had a three-man rush on him, and we were getting pressure on him. With three-man rush, fellas, I mean, that's telling you something right there.
Yeah, well, it's encouraging from our perspective because we wanted a pass rush all of last year. And then it's also it shows exactly what you're talking about, that maybe the Giants are starting to leak some oil.
I can't tell you how happy I was to see our defense swarming. It looked like the mid-90s, the way they were swarming to the person that catches the ball. There wasn't one person making a tackle. You had two or three just there on a great pursue angle. I mean, we weren't leaving any stones unturned. We took care of our business, man. That's for sure. And, again, going back to DeMarcus Lawrence, I really love the way he was playing. Look at him on the screen right now. Look at Peyton – or not Peyton. Eli pointing at his head like, I got hit
me.
Again.
He touched me in the head. Yeah. That was actually whenever, like, he barely tapped him with his finger as he
That's
was
the only
around.
Way that ball will keep moving on your positive end there, Eli. Keep ducking and hoping to get a penalty.
Yeah. He was asking for one there. He's begging for a call.
So going back to the offense, how'd you find Zeke's play to be in, you know, limited preseason time? And he comes out and he rushes for 104.
Did he even touch the ball preseason? I don't think so. I don't think he played one.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure Rodney watched very much preseason football. He is anti-preseason completely, and we've had a lot of conversations off air where I think he's threatened bodily harm to me when I go, hey, man, let's go watch a preseason game. You know, I'm going to kick your ass.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny. It doesn't take preseason football for me to threaten to kick your ass. No, I don't think he did actually touch the ball in the preseason, honestly.
And that could have been a little dangerous for us to put in Zeke.
Yeah.
That we didn't know what his status was going to be.
But I think his overall performance was good. I think he carried the ball 24, 25 times.
24.
Had five catches or so, right? So, I mean, he touched the ball 30 times.
But
what
fellas,
else could you ask out of him?
On that note, too, you definitely seen the difference between having another back than him. When he's in there, like I said, you see Morris get pushed back 2-3 yards. A negative became a real negative. But, you know, when you see this guy, when they got him inside the backfield for a yard or two loss, he'll make that a one-yard positive gain, and that's big. That's a four-yard turnaround.
Absolutely. That's when your offensive line starts thinking – you know, when they make a mistake or they didn't get to the gap quick enough to pick up a block, whatever it is, and they give up a 4-yard loss, and this guy's actually making a positive play out of it, it picks everybody's play up where they're like, okay, man, if I'm better, we're going to really break loose here. So they all pick up their game when you got a positive guy in the backfield like that. It just, he's, like you said, Jono, he's falling forward. He's getting the extra 2 yards. You got a third and two, and you know you're going to get it. Just put a body on the body in front of you, and Zeke is going to get your first down for sure.
I was worried about our position with the punt returner, Ryan Switzer.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell to expect. The guy wasn't back there the entire preseason. Now game one against the Giants, he's back there. Catching punts, and I thought, you know what? If something breaks down tonight, It could be him fumbling the ball on a punt. It sets up a great field position for the Giants. Next thing you know, it's a one-score game. And, you know, he played it smart. The kid played it smart. He didn't get wacky with it. Every time he felt the heat, he fair catched it a lot. I know there was a couple Cowboy fans that messaged me saying, hey, Ryan Switzer, when's he going to do something? Folks, he's got to have room to do it. Why press the issue? Why get in trouble?
So I question for you out of my ignorance on this. What happened on that play that it looked like it was going to be a fair catch, and he never signaled for it? Did they give him the yards that he ran it back? He ran it back like 4 or 5 yards. He kind of caught it, and everybody was just standing around him, and he never asked for the fair catch.
The broadcast didn't really do a good job of explaining it, because I'm not sure if they gave him the yardage or not.
No, they didn't give him the yardage.
Because you heard.
No, I thought they did.
Because you heard, I don't know if it was Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth that said he gave himself up, and I don't know if that's an actual rule. It was that an actual rule that they said, because you know the referees didn't make an announcement towards it. So I don't know if they did not give him the yards on that.
I thought they didn't give it to him. You know what? On that note too, I'm not into that. You know what?
I didn't know you could give yourself up in football, like standing there with the ball. Like, no, I'm not moving, so you can't tackle me.
I thought he gave a half-ass arm movement there that could have indicated. I know what you guys are saying. But, I mean, you know what? That's when you get some bodily harm there.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You talk about exciting when the guy, almost a heads-up play, because the ball was going to be, it was so high, and that he knew that the gunners weren't going to really be running towards him because, they were going to be standing there.
Right.
That he doesn't give himself up. He doesn't call for the fair catch, catches it, pauses, and then takes off. I thought it was a pretty sweet play.
Yeah.
If it worked. Somebody looked that up on their computer box. Rodney, what do you got over there? You got that up yet?
I don't have the computer box.
You know what? I wanted to work it.
I thought he looked very comfortable back there. I thought he did his job. He did what he had to do. He did what we, and I know that everyone wants the exciting punt return and all this, that, and the other. But like Jono said, it's more important for him to secure the ball, not turn it over. Whenever he has the ability to return it, I'll go for it. Catch it and run. See what you can do. But, at that point in time, you just have to do your job. And that game, he just had to let it go over his head. He had to take the fair catch. That's it. That's all. You can't ask him to, hurt the team essentially by, trying to do something fancy or trying to be too aggressive. So,
and you know who we're not even bringing up today is, I guess we expect it. We expect it, and we don't have any negative thoughts about it. And that's our kicker, Dan Bailey. I mean, this guy is nails. You know what? There's so many kickers out there, you're wondering, oh, God, please make this kick. He steps out on the field, man. I guess we're past that, to where we don't even worry. We don't even think. The guy put up four field goals.
Yep.
Four field goals that were an instrument to this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you saw it on the Monday night game where a rookie kicker comes in for San Diego last second, and they he kicks it. They iced him, timeout right before the snap.
Cool.
He kicks it good.
Cool.
Cool, yeah. And then next time out, breakdown in the blocking assignment, and it gets blocked.
No,
and
again, on that note, he kicked it low, too.
It's right.
A sign of a good kicker.
Absolutely.
We have it.
We have the Mr. Automatic,
right,
for sure. I mean, and that's – I guess that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing that we know that as well, because we wanted those touchdowns. Hey, be automatic on the extra points. Let's score. Let's get in that end zone.
But for kickers too, honestly, it's one of those situations, and we've been spoiled because we do have a great kicker. But it's when they make their field goals, it's like, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Let's say he misses one of them at the end of the game, then we're like, he's the worst kicker on the face of the earth. You know what I mean? It's just kind of – that's just the world the kickers live in. They're judged by a different code when it comes down to it. But thankfully, knock on wood, we've been very fortunate to have Dan Bailey.
Yeah, the guy's been unreal. And anytime we're inside the 40, all of a sudden I say – okay, we got three for sure on this.
Right.
We got three for sure. And that's a great acceptance, knowing that at least we're going to get three out of it and not come up. If you come up empty, I know you guys are saying, hey, you know what, On the negative side, we did lose a touchdown, but we gained a field goal. But if you don't come away with anything on those, that just brings down morale, man.
Right. And
that
John,
offense just depletes whenever you don't come up with anything.
I think you hit the nail on the head with being automatic. How many times have you sat there watching a game and you go, you know, the guy's on the 30-yard line and it's, you know, third and 13 or something. You're like, oh, man, just if he can just get, like, even 8 yards, make that – a little bit closer. Whereas now we're like, okay, well, hell, 45, 50-yarder. Okay, well, we got that in the bag. Let's go for the first down.
Right.
Let's try to get all 13 yards and get the first down as opposed to just trying to get enough just to make it a little bit easier. This guy's hitting everything.
Right. And not just swinging the ball at the very last second to get across. I mean, these are going right up the middle. Right up the middle. And I couldn't have asked for anything more on week one. I know there's a lot of people, such as you guys, that brought up, you know what, we could have put in this or that. But, fellas, 19-3, knowing you've got the game against the Giants, in going into the fourth quarter, this could have been a very lopsided game. And to me, I didn't have any my high blood pressure medication for the game or anything. I mean, I thought – by halftime, we're out doing everything that they're giving to us.
Well, Jono, have you switched your will and put me in it yet?
What do you want from me? I got a couple of resources.
I know, but what I'm saying is I just want to make sure I'm in that will just in case things tighten up a little bit later on in the season. I want to make sure that I have, you know, my rightful things coming to me.
I don't think it's going to tighten up at all, pal.
I hope not.
I'm saying to you right now, the way we looked, I think we could take on anyone. And this coming week, we've got the Broncos, and I'm pretty confident about that one too. I don't care how loud they get. I think we've done it in the past. We've proven that we can play in loud stadiums such as Seattle. And we could do it here, too.
I know, and I agree with you. I'm very confident in what we're doing. I'm just looking at the bigger picture. And I know that we have to play teams like Green Bay and Atlanta and the Raiders this year. We're going to have to score more touchdowns. I mean, just naturally. I think, like, you have to start – you're going to have to punch the ball in another time or two against some of these other teams, Jono. Because, like you said, let's say the Giants are really off this year. Let's say that, you know, they go 4-12. Or something ridiculous, right? You know, like
I say, they're going to play 500. But
well,
that,
either way, you know,
that's
what I mean?
About
but
it.
My
with
point,
that.
My point is, maybe like you said, the Giants aren't as good as we thought. And we, you know, 5-6 weeks from now, maybe we'll look back and be like, you know what? Only beating the Giants 19-3 doesn't look that great. All of a sudden, if they have a terrible year, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate with you. You know, what I'm saying, like, I still want to see the ball in the end zone. We're going to have to score more touchdowns to win more games. We've got we know we have a tougher schedule coming, and I am fully confident in what we're doing and how they're doing it. I just want to see a little bit more balance in what they're doing, and you got to punch the ball in another time or two.
And there was a time in our maybe a couple weeks ago I brought up what if Dak now is a quarterback to where he likes to stay in the pocket more. I didn't see that. Fortunately, I didn't see that. You've seen a quarterback when pressed, when something – when he feels the pressure at all, he moves it north. I mean, he's constantly moving his feet and moving the right direction with the ball and not just sitting there. You've got the pocket quarterback. You've had the quarterbacks that like to run and pass, but they changed their sophomore years. You had the Cam Newtons that changed. They started becoming a pocket QB. I don't know why. You had RG3.
Well, they've all been hit. Remember, Cam's big complaint to the NFL is, I get it, I'm bigger than everybody out here, but you still can't, I mean, you can't
You're
treat me different.
Me.
They're hitting me, and he's not wearing the type of equipment that these linebackers are wearing. Quarterbacks don't wear that, the same type of stuff. Cam got punished. RG3 got punished. All those guys stopped running or being able to run effectively. But you're exactly right, Jono. I mean, 3 rushes, 24 yards.
Right.
Effective 24 yards.
Right.
And that keeps the defense honest. All of a sudden, you do that, every game. And what do they have to do? They have to throw a linebacker spy on you, right?
Yep.
Which means that's one less guy in a passing lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to spy you. And that's it. It's vital to what we're going to do because that's just another weapon that most teams don't have. Okay, most quarterbacks out there outside of a couple can throw the ball, okay? But very few are throwing and running effectively, and he can do it.
Yep. Did you guys remember that one play with Smith got in the backfield? Next thing you know, our offense went completely like arena football type of offense. We had Zeke out there. We had all our receivers all in different directions. And I'm like, wow, look at the threat we're showing right now.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, how can a defense possibly zone in on one or two things when you have six weapons on the field all of a sudden?
Right. And that's systematic. They roll that out there because they want people to see that on film.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you got to start game planning against that. Well, guess what? You don't have that many hours of practice, and you're going to try to game plan against six wideouts or whatever, or the wildcat or the direct snap, and it gets – I'm telling you that we got a lot of weapons. And one weapon we didn't see even in the receiving corps, I don't recall at all, is Switzer at all.
No, and how excited were we? See him out there.
Yeah, we were excited about, well, what happens if Beezer and Switzer are out there in the same time?
Yeah.
You know, and the other one that's on IR is Rico Gathers. Yeah. You know, you start getting some stuff happening. We got guys still to get into the mix. I mean, this has got to be one of the exciting times that we've been alive, just because remember we used to talk about the triplets, the big three with Aikman, Emmitt, and Irvin, you know, and then you might throw in, okay, well, you know, we got, you know, this receiver, this tight end, or this or that, you know, one or two other guys that might show up other game.
Well,
now you got six or eight legitimate weapons.
The Cowboys have always traditionally, I mean, when it was Irvin, you had Harper, then you had Novacek. It was like, it seems like that chemistry has always been there with the Cowboys. That's what they like to do. You know, in baseball, they say, we like to have our middle strong with our catcher, our second baseman, our center fielder, our shortstop. And this is the ideal, this is the ideology of the Cowboys, to always have a nice number two wideout. And this year, I think Bryce is going to fill in that spot right there. I really think that he's showing himself and proving himself more or less to be that person.
Yeah, no, and that's a great problem to have. You want Terrence and Bryce and everyone and Cole kind of having their own friendly competition with amongst each other. And, you know, it's only going to get better, and, you know, health being the only caveat. But even if we do have somebody go down, we have so many tools in the toolbox. We've got someone to fill in, you know, and that's a good problem to have.
Right, right. When Terrence Williams twisted his ankle and then comes
well, how'd he
right
come back on that?
I don't know. He looked pretty damn good.
Looked nasty, yeah. John, I'm sorry, and I wanted to touch on something. You brought up Dak and his ability to run, and there was one play that of those three carries that he had that made me a little nervous. He went head first, and he just – I don't remember who on the Giants' defense had him lined up. They just missed him. It just takes one of those.
What, you didn't want to see Kellen Moore?
Lord help me. Lord help me.
How they
made
him number two again.
But my point is, I do want to see him. You can't take that threat away from him.
Right.
You don't want to limit him from that. But he's also, it's hard to take the competitive juice out of a guy like that. You know, and he was a whisker away from getting his head chopped off.
No, you're right.
But I think with him having the ability to be in the pocket and roll out and possibly run, possibly throw, and all those things are what is going to make him a successful quarterback.
Not at all one-dimensional.
No.
Back there, he knows how to get the job done. And the thing about it, God bless him, he plays smart. And I think that's a key to being a quarterback. You don't know the peaks and valleys of the quarterbacks are. You throw a bad interception, you fumble the ball. Well, it puts the team right behind an eight ball there to where it's hard to come back after that. And you know what, folks? I love Tony Romo. I don't care. Tony Romo could come back in 5, 10 years, 15 years, I still say I love the guy. But one thing about Tony Romo, he threw interceptions. He put us behind a bad spot, and our defense had to dig out of it. And then it was Romo to the rescue to make good on what he did wrong. I mean, that's basically how week one always seemed to go for us. Yeah. And this week here, I'll tell you what, Dak didn't leave any question marks on that and did not get me worried at all. And, yeah, you make a good point. But, again, he hung on to the ball, and he didn't make any bad plays.
Well, what was it? Last year he had 4 interceptions. And, you know, we're off to a similar start this year where he's just – he protects the football. He protects right. The onion. If you don't protect the onion, it'll make you cry. All right? And he
Beautiful.
Protects the onion. And he takes care of it, doesn't throw it willy-nilly around. And let me tell you what, if we get out of the season with only 4 interceptions, we're going to have a lot of success.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of success, I think our producer just gave us the cue that we have the professor on the line.
Oh, on our hotline.
Colleen, yes. Colleen Case. Colleen, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I think we're doing great. We got a big old grin on our face from last weekend, and we'd like your little input on it.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Nice to see, to start out the season with a win, especially against the Giants.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you know what? It seemed like we were talking on the show here. We had everything from the start to the end, everything. It wasn't like one of those Dallas Giant games to where I got to take a blood pressure med in the third quarter and drink a lot of water. I don't want to pass out or anything. I think we had this under control.
Yeah, usually our games against the Giants, at least our openers, are we beat them by 1 or 2 points or they beat us by a point. So, yeah, it's usually a nail-biting kind of a game. But this time it was totally different. I will say that we seemed to start out kind of shaky, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Dak seemed to be having some problems with the communication in his helmet. He wasn't able to hear from the side.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
And then once they fixed that, it seemed to go smoother. Plus, Dak's not a no-huddle kind of a quarterback. So you kind of saw a little bit of his, I guess you could call it immaturity or lack of experience in the NFL to start, because he was going with the no huddle. And if a communication system went out, a veteran quarterback would have still been okay with it and just called plays. And he was a little unsure of what he was going with since he couldn't have the communication. So I think we saw a little bit of that to start, and that's why it looked kind of shaky to start. But once they got that cleared up and he got into the rhythm of the no huddle and gained his confidence, things went forward just fine. And I think the biggest thing that came out of this game was what everybody was worried about. What about our defense? We lost all of those right. players in the free agency yeah. and to retirement. And yet we held them. Our defense held them to 3 points.
Right. Colleen, you couldn't have said it any better.
How did you like that no huddle that they were running? I was really excited about it just because I think that we have a very athletic team and that I like Zach Dak running that one.
I was happy to see him do that. I was surprised to see him come out and do that. Like I said, that's usually something that a veteran quarterback is more comfortable with, but he got it, he got into the swing of it, and I think it threw the Giants off guard.
Now, Colleen,
you know,
let me ask you this. This week we're playing Denver, and do we on our offensive coordinator side, does he look for running up to the line and doing that this time around? Or I don't know if you could even hear anyone when you're audibilizing on the line like that.
You know, he could. We could see the same type of a game. It's one that none of the teams that we play against are used to seeing from us, especially with Dak. You know, they've been watching films trying to figure out exactly what he's going to do. And he's doing something that they haven't seen him do before. So it's possible we could see some more of that. I would like to see some more of that.
Right.
You know, go with the huddle maybe to start. And, you know, if that isn't working, if we're giving them too much time,
right,
then go with a no huddle.
Right. Well,
yeah,
so
I just
saying go with it.
Yeah, I like it. I just think it's an added dimension that we didn't talk about on the first half of the show, Jono, is that, you know, there. And I mean, it's hard to get through everything because they're, you know, it's the first show out with the regular season. But to see that added dimension, I was excited about it. Kind of really forgot about it because it looked like it was just a natural thing. And it reminds me almost like what quarterbacks have done in the past, and even like Aaron Rodgers nowadays, getting up there, and he seems to always get that cheap penalty with a 12-man on the
running
off the field. Yeah. And once again, I think he did it again this week where he got the big touchdown at Jordy Nelson on a play like that. But if the Cowboys can get into something and wear some of these defensives down because we're young and athletic, I mean, I'm excited about just that added dimension in there.
Right? He gives us one more tool in the toolbox.
Yeah.
One more thing.
You know what? I was very happy with our DBs. They didn't give up anything. Like I said, they were like a referee in a prize fight there. I didn't hear about them. I didn't see them. So that's a great news there. Our linebacking crew, both of them, all three of them there, they played outstanding. Sean Lee looked like Dick Butkus, and you had Galen Smith that just was all around the ball. They can't get by him. I mean, they may catch a 5-yard pass or something like that. This guy runs like a 4.3, 4.4. That's unbelievable
quick
for a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said to the guys, I like your input on this. It just seemed like our defense looked like the early 90s Cowboys, to where they were all swarming like a bunch of bees right on top of one person. They weren't just one person wasn't making a tackle. Everyone was part of it.
Right. It's nice to see that defense back like that. And I think that we may see them struggle a little bit from time to time as we go up against some of these teams. But I think that we're going to see them continue to improve. And I think we're going to get closer to that doomsday defense that we had in the past. So all the pieces are coming together. It's really nice to see that happening. Now, if we can just get all the other things, all the off-field stuff under control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But right now, none of that is hurting us.
Yeah, that's
so,
not even important right now.
It absolutely isn't.
Seems like what Steve-O said 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said, you know what, guys, don't even worry about it. This is going to the courts. He's going to play the entire year. And I almost threw him out of the studio for being crazy. And he's the last one to laugh at us now because it sure worked out like that.
Well, it's you know, aside from Zeke, it's some of the other players that are missing right now as a result of the same thing. And we may see another player leave with at least a one-game suspension, and that's Nolan Carroll. They haven't handed down his punishment yet for his DWI or DUI, depending on what state you live in. So we'll see that happen, but I honestly don't think it's going to make a difference. The depth that we have, the backups that, you know, we have in play have just shown that next man up, for once, next man up is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Colleen. It's great that, man, she just made my hair stand thinking about next man up. Because I tell you what, you've seen our defensive line. My God, they went after him. And I don't know if that's a depleting offensive line for the Giants, but I tell you what, whatever it was, our boys came after him. Even with a three-man rush, we had pressure on the
right
guy. And that was DeMarcus Lawrence. And the crew there, I mean, they pinched him in. They didn't let him outside the box. And Eli's the type of guy, if he feels any pressure, he's not going to do a damn thing. He'll step up one step, and then if he still feels pressure, he'll put his head down and take a sack, more or less.
And I have to brag a little bit on my guy, Anthony Brown.
Brag away.
Because I said way back when, this kid is going to make a difference. He's going to really show people. And, boy, he sure stepped up in that game.
Yes, he did. He played well and
came
away with the interception there, huh?
Yeah, he did.
I really got to say, though, Colleen, I don't see – and this is a good thing – I don't see one guy that stood up above the rest of the players on defense.
No.
It seemed like they all were in co-sync with one another. I mean,
exactly.
They were just everyone was
outside
playing.
Outside of Sean Lee, kind of really stood out to me.
Sean Lee, you're right.
But outside of that,
there wasn't a play that happened where Sean Lee was not in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every tackle, he was there. I mean, you saw him, even if he didn't make the tackle, he was right there. There wasn't a play that went down where he wasn't visible.
No, I agree.
He's just everywhere, and I think that's a good spot for him. I'm glad that they moved him there. I think this is the best Sean Lee we've seen.
And it may just be all the young players around him that have just energized this Cowboy defense now. They seem like they play a lot younger. It seemed like the Giants were playing tired like halfway in the season, and you're looking at the Cowboy defense or the Cowboy team in general, and they seem like we can't wait for the season to start away here, and they were on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've really been working hard. You know, I watched some of the training camp practices, and I saw some new drills out there that I hadn't seen before for the defense, which made me happy to see. So I'm real excited about the season. I look forward to the next game, and I know we have a tough schedule. We're playing against some tough teams, but I think that we'll do okay.
Speaking of that, Colleen, your take on this this coming game, and we'll wrap it up. What's your call on the Denver showdown here?
Let's see. I say we'll pull off the win. I think it's going to be a little closer of a game. So, 2-6.
What's the spread on that, Steve-O?
I'll look it up on the computer box here.
Do that while Colleen's talking here. So you're saying it's going to be a close game?
I think it'll be a closer game. I don't think it's going to be a widespread like we got against
the Giants.
I do think that we'll pull off the win. I would say I'm going to give them. I'll give them 13.
Low score.
But
low score.
Yeah.
All right.
And
what do you give us? What do you give?
And I'll give us. I'll give us better than that.
20,
17? Yeah, I'm thinking either 17 or 20, but I'll go with 20.
All right, so we got a one touchdown win.
Over under is at 42. Dallas favored by 2.5.
2.5. Yeah. So Colleen was right. It's going to be a close one, but Colleen also.
I'll take it back and say 17 then.
17.
If that's
to
the
13.
Spread.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we got.
I think it'll be a low scoring game, but I think it's going to be really close.
Yeah. All right, Colleen, that's what we needed to know. And what's your plans on this weekend? Are you having people over to watch the game?
No, just been here at home with my family. And I'll tell you, last weekend when the game was on, my 7-year-old grandson is very much into Cowboys football.
Oh, nice.
And so he was running around here going, yeah, feed me, feed me, feed me. And then the few times that Dez didn't catch the ball, he was, come on, Dez, I need to throw up the X. And he was really excited. Nice. And very loud, and his parents told him to calm down. He said, I can't calm down.
How
I'm a real Cowboys fan.
That a boy. That a boy. I love that. I love that. My kids, they stay the hell away from me. I got two daughters that think I'm crazy. I yell at the TV. I'm saying stuff that only probably a convict would say to. I'm on my own. I don't want to watch a game. I'm yelling. I'm doing crazy stuff to the TV. I'm yelling. I'm flipping off every time Eli comes on, I flip him off on the TV. I don't know. It gets crazy, and I'm glad to see there's future Cowboy fans that are as passionate as we are too. That's going to be big.
Well, he's been to two games. The playoff game last year, and he's already been to a game this year. So he went to the preseason game against the Raiders.
Right.
And he is one jazzed little boy and coming up being raised right.
That's right. Beautiful.
Being taught the game already.
Being taught the game. Hey, Steve, what do you have on this coming game, man?
Well, I'd like till we get to our next show, but I think you got to give the edge to the Cowboys. I like the way we're playing. I had us listed as a win. I think I have us going 4-0 to start off with.
Okay.
But Colleen, I did book my plane trip. I'll be down there for the Packers game on the 8th of October.
You got that already.
Okay.
Huh? Beautiful. Yep. Beautiful.
I don't have a ticket yet. Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. But I got the plane ticket.
He's got a plane ticket. Walk around the state.
I think I have a cheap ticket. I think I have the cheap ticket, which is the airline ticket. The expensive ticket is actually getting into the stadium.
Ah, you'll get it. I know.
So remember me if we're going to have, you know, lunch or dinner with the Cowboys after the game. I need to know prior to my phone dying.
You know what? Last time you had a shot, your phone died. That's not Colleen's fault.
I know.
Yeah.
The only time it's ever died.
It dies when Colleen's, like, looking for you to get you over there, and maybe we could have had a Cowboy on our show now, but you ruined that. All right. Anyway, Colleen, yeah, that's what we have for this week. Thank you so much for chiming in. And, hey, Cowboy fans out there, if you're going to buy anything through Amazon, go through Cowboys Podcast, and it's on your right-hand side. Find Amazon, click on Amazon, and shop away. We get a little love back from Amazon on that. So we appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. Go to our site at cowboyspodcast.com and hit a big like. I know a lot of fans out there that have been chiming in and leaving messages and everything, and we appreciate it. And Steve-O,
yeah, if you like what you're hearing and you're on Facebook and you follow us or you follow Colleen's fan page there, make sure you share it, the podcast out, so all the Dallas Cowboy fans out there in the world can get the message that we're doing a great show here.
And all you ladies out there, Colleen, you want to give them your site?
Sure. Come to She Loves the Cowboys on Facebook and request to join, answer the questions, and we'll get you in there.
I'm still waiting for you to approve my application.
You're a man, dude. They only take females. For love of God, can't you figure that out by now? He's been trying to sneak on your site for a while now. Anyway.
If you get one from Stephanie Jones, that is not me.
Uh-huh. That's not a... All right. Thank you so much, Colleen. Thank you, folks, for being a part of our show. And go Cowboys. Let's take another one. We're going to Denver. Let's clean house there, too.
Go, boys.
Take care. Cowboys.
Go, Cowboys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.